Thank you, God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. First Corinthians chapter 2, Paul says, "When I came to you, I was weak and I shook with fear, and my teaching and my speaking were not wise words that persuaded people, but the proof of my teaching was that the power that the Spirit gives, I did this so that your faith would be in God's power and not in human wisdom." Say, my faith is in God's power. Okay, my faith is in God's power. All right, now I know everybody's listening. So, hallelujah. We teach wisdom to people who are mature, but the wisdom we teach is not from this world. It's not the wisdom of the rulers of this world who are losing their power. Yes, the wisdom of the rulers of the world who are losing their power, but we speak of God's secret wisdom that has been hidden from everyone until now. God planned this wisdom for our glory. Say, God planned this wisdom for my glory. Amen. He planned it before the world began. None of the rulers of this world understood this wisdom. If they had understood it, they would not have killed our great and glorious Lord on a cross. But as the scriptures say, no one has ever seen, no one has ever heard, no one has ever imagined what God prepared for those who love him. Say, I love him. But God has shown these things through his Spirit. The Spirit knows all things. The Spirit even knows the deep secrets of God. It's like this. No one knows the thoughts that another person has. Only the person's spirit that lives inside knows those thoughts. It's the same with God. No one knows God's thoughts except God's Spirit. We received the Spirit that is from God, not the spirit of the world. We received God's Spirit so that we can know all that God has given us. We received God's Spirit, say that,
we received God's Spirit,
so that we can know
all that God has given us.
So Lord, right now we are on a search for all that you have given us. And we are here to be transformed, expecting this to be the clearest word we've ever heard from you. Not what comes out of my mouth, Lord. Not what comes out of Roger's mouth, but what goes into their spirit from the Spirit of God. That's what we're seeking. That's what we're planning for. And that's what we rejoice in. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Now, Proverbs 2, verse 9 says, if you listen to him, you will understand what is just and fair, how to do what is right. If you listen to him. So say, I'm going to listen to him. You will gain wisdom and knowledge, and it will bring you joy. If we listen to him. Jesus said, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. There's a good reason that he said that, because you got to understand before you can see. And then you have to have a desire to see what you don't understand. And be willing to stand when you've done everything to stand, and just stand, knowing it'll be fine. Jesus always knew it would be fine. Paul, they tied him up in his own belt and said, this is the trouble that's coming to you. He said, I know, it'll be fine. He was anxious to finish the race, but he didn't want to finish the race until he'd finished the race. Now, in track, I chased kids around, and always at the time when, after the race should have been finished in their mind, I was saying, faster, kick, 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 kick. There's kids from years ago that still remember one thing that I was always saying, kick. And I think they were thinking, I'll kick you. But The thing is that you can't quit the race till you finish the race. And oftentimes in faith, we quit the race before we finish the race. We begin to give up, begin to sit down, begin to cease to speak of the things that are not as though they are before we should cease to speak of them. Before we begin to give up, we should begin to give in to the Spirit of God. For He will lead us into all truth. Thy word is truth, Lord. And so the author of Proverbs say, when you listen to Him, you'll understand. Okay, so how often in our lives do we come to a place where, man, I don't understand? That's a good place to listen to Him. Why hasn't Jerry's job manifested yet? We haven't prayed yet. Now we have. We've sprinkled prayers before, but today he sat down and he said, I want it! You know? Now, somebody who doesn't know the goodness of God, doesn't understand the goodness of God, someone on the outside would be saying, what's he doing moving to Highmore with all those kids? Look at them all lined up on the front row of the auditorium, and he doesn't even have a job. That is, by the way, one of the most glorious sights. All of you lined up there, kids on laps, kids spread out, kids. But you know, people don't understand. Everybody doesn't understand. And so sometimes people who don't understand say things, and if we look at it just right, we understand that when they say things that are against the knowledge of God, all they do is stir up God to make them look foolish. Not that God's some mean old God that's trying to make people look foolish, but you see, when people come against God's people, if God's people understand how God works, they look at those things and they rejoice when people revile them. Because God's got a blessing for them. See, this is foolishness to the world, but it's wisdom to us. God makes perfect sense when we understand God. And when you understand God, then what used to be nonsense, we just have a way. We just have a thought. We just have a confidence in God that overrides that, that overrides doubts, that overrides fears, that builds up our confidence, that sets us free. Sets us free to receive, because we said God did this so that we could know everything that He has for us. There's a multitude of people that don't know God has anything for them, and they're saying they're Christians. Okay? I'm not saying they're not Christians. I'm just saying they don't understand. Last night, there was something in some email or something that I saw, and someone says, is Donald Trump a Christian? I'll tell you what. That's not for me to decide, but I will tell you this, that he is proclaimed Christ before a whole lot more people than I've ever spoken to. He stood up with his Bible and said, this is my Bible, when millions of people were watching. Believe me, people are listening to him. So, here's what I said to people. God used Cyrus. I don't know. I have no idea. But when I thought about it, I thought, well, you know what? Paul said, whether he's preached for good or for what, as long as Christ is preached, that's all that it is. So we got bigger fish to fry than trying to figure out if somebody is a Christian or not. And that is just about the truth about everything. I think one of the devil's greatest ploys is to get all the Christians trying to decide who's a Christian. And if you're trying to decide who's a Christian, then you've got to decide that you're a pretty fine Christian. Or you're a good enough Christian, or does it really matter Christian? You know? I mean, you fall into one of those categories, or it doesn't matter at all, you know. Who cares? Who needs it? There's probably 87 other stages in that, okay? But it wasn't up to me to decide. You know, the Scripture says if someone denies Christ, then Christ will deny them. But if someone says Jesus Christ is Lord, they can't say Jesus Christ is Lord unless they have the Spirit of God in them. And I knew a guy years and years ago he was a con man. He stole money from us, but he was a Christian. And he worked in our office, and his big thing was to get somebody to say Jesus is Lord, because if they would say Jesus is Lord, then he knew they were a Christian. And he said Jesus is Lord everywhere. I mean, he just was confused about some other things. It was kind of okay to be a con man because that was his job, but that wasn't his faith. You know what I mean? Okay, so that's not my concern either. My concern is, and your concern should be, that we know what God has for us, and that we know what God wants, and that we understand what he has to say. And that we understand that the best way to success is always to find out what he has to say. My other daughter came home, and wonderful to have her visit. And I don't even remember what we were talking about, but I basically must have said to her, well, don't let it bother you. And she said, well, yeah, that's easy for you, Dad. You don't have feelings. And Rachel came out of the door, out of the bathroom, and that's the only thing she heard, and she was ready to defend her daddy, Well, I understood what Shiloh was saying. I understood, you ain't going to pastor if your hide isn't thick, okay? You aren't going to come home to your hometown to preach the gospel when you have led all of the parties unless you develop a thick skin. I remember coming home from a trip one time, and John was in our backyard, and he said, bro, do you know what they're saying now? I said, oh, it's hard telling. God bless them. But by then, I was kind of in the mode of when somebody was talking about me, I was a little bit excited because I had really caught on to the idea, blessed are you when you're persecuted for Christ's sake. I figured there's a blessing coming. So then I had to overcome the idea of wanting to hear people say bad things about me. Looking for a blessing, say something bad about me. I need a blessing. Because I have feelings. Like I said, I cried when Lassie was lost. I cried when Lassie came home. I cry when we watch those silly chick flicks. And believe me, I've watched a bunch of chick flicks. Since 2000 and what year did Jordan leave me? 2003. Since 2003, I have watched a list of chick flicks. I have turned off a lot of ball games because I just want to finish this movie. Okay, fine. And then I cry right with them. I've had the sore throat from trying to keep the tears back and not been able to speak, so I got feelings, but some things just don't bother me. I don't have all the wisdom in the world, but I guarantee you, if you don't let things bother you, it will benefit you greatly. If we will just listen to him, we will understand what's just and fair and how to do what's right. So we've got a place to check in every situation, right? We've got a place to check in. When we're in despair, we got a place to check in. If we wonder if our husband will ever get a job, we've got a place to check in. I know you're not, because you've got confidence. See how quickly she said that? That makes me wonder. Won't you put that out there? You think you're talking about me? Don't you talk about me? I'm not talking about you, Susan. I was just throwing that out there pragmatically. But thank you for making it clear for us. We all have wonderful, wonderful things, if we can see them as wonderful, wonderful things. Because our biggest trials, our biggest things are the biggest opportunity for God to do something. When someone came to Jesus and said, if you're willing, you can help me. And Jesus made it clear about everything for all time from then on, I'm willing. And then he said, you know, and another time he told the guy who came to him, and he was the one that said that his servant needed healing, and Jesus said, well, let's go do it. And the servant said, oh, you don't have to come. All you got to do is just pray, because I'm a man under authority, and I know that when I tell somebody to do something, they do it. And if I'm told to do something, I do it. And Jesus said, whoa, this is great faith. Go ahead. Because you believed, your servant's been healed. And the Bible says that he was healed. So you see, this is the confidence we have that when we pray, we know that he hears us. These are words that we hear, but they've got to be words that we feel. The other night I was visiting with somebody, and it never occurred to me at the time that I was visiting with him, but it occurred to me last night in the night that no matter what he came up with, God just poured the word into him. Out of my mouth flowed rivers of living water. In response, he said, oh, I hadn't heard that one. I said, well, look it up. Because every question he had, every problem that he had, every care that he needed addressed is addressed directly in God's word. Now, God has told us. He said, don't worry about what you're going to say. Don't worry about what you're going to do. It'll be given to you when the time comes. That's why today I believe that that kind of word sort of came forth. Is, listen, you got something in you for somebody. And somebody's got something in you, in them, for you. So we need to be listening and speaking. We need to be expecting God to put a word to us. And if we don't hear that still small voice of God, we might hear it across the room from somebody that isn't even talking to us. But if we might hear it, we might hear it from a news commentator. You know, we don't know where, but if we know it could be, we pay attention. How many of you have ever been in a conversation with somebody and they're talking to you and you're not hearing a thing they're saying? Or been somewhere and somebody's talking to you and you're giving them eye contact, but this conversation over here just is speaking something to you. Not necessarily anything good, but you're just hearing it better. Or it caught your ear, and so you're trying to tune that ear to that and pretend like you're hearing that. You know? And all the time you're wanting to say, just a second, what did you say? I heard something, but I'm not sure what you said. I'll be right back. You know? But I mean, but we have that, and what we've got to do is we've got to learn to have an ear tuned to God. In other words, we need to let him know that it's perfectly okay with us if he interrupts us. If he whispers from afar, I want to tune into his whisper. You know? Have you ever walked into a place and somebody looked at you and then they started talking to the other person and you were sure they were talking about you? What makes you think you're that important? Maybe they just noticed you. Or maybe they're talking about you. It's hard to tell. You really don't know. I guess if you're that bent on knowing, you can walk over to them and say, excuse me, were you talking about me or did you just notice me come into the room? I got news for you. Guys notice, especially when pretty girls come into a room, so you're always going to be talked about. I always did. And I suspect that girls talk a little when a guy hops into the room. But that's not necessarily any of our business, and that's not where we're going to, okay? Here's the thing, okay? Yeah, it's okay. Sometimes I like to just give you a little comic relief, and then we're going to go back at it. I don't even have any thoughts, in case you hadn't noticed. I don't really think as I do this. I just sort of talk to you. That's why I get these looks from you all sometimes, like, I just trust God. I think God has a sense of humor. I think that God knows exactly what we need. I think he knows exactly how to accomplish what we need. And I think he knows that we need to know that he knows. And because if we know that he knows, then we will be really interested in listening to him. See, it's important that we're interested in listening to him. You don't have to listen to me, but I might say something he wants you to hear. And don't expect everybody that you speak to listen to every word that you say. Because they didn't listen to every word that Jesus said, and he's got a higher position on the food chain than we do. But do expect that when you speak the truth plants a seed. And so then if we want to be seed planters and we want to have what other people need and want to have what God has for us, then we will become more inclined to listen to Him. Just to let Him know that we're listening. I can't tell you how many times, if I had a dollar for every time Vicki has said, "You don't listen to me." I figured she'd have something to say if I just waited. You see, that's the thing, you got to learn to just wait. Because it'll come. You know? Yeah. It's not a case of not listening to her. I just don't always hear what she says. Now, you think that's wordplay, but it's true. It's not that I'm not listening, it's just that I don't hear. Look at John, he can control it all right there. Yeah. He thinks that he's fooling me when he's playing with his ear. No, he's not. He can run. He can rule the message with that little button, man. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Busted! Yeah, that's okay. Doesn't bother me. Listen. That's the only thing we have to do in order to hear God. Listen. And in order to listen, we have to know that He hears. We have to care that He hears. We have to care that He cares. And then we have to present ourselves to Him. We have to submit ourselves to what He can do. We can't just read the word that says don't be conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind without a desire to have our mind renewed. To make that choice. Not just the choice to receive salvation, because then the choice is to continue to work out that salvation. There's a difference. If we listen to Him, we will know what is right. There's a difference in wanting what God has for us. 99 people out of 100, or 999,000 perhaps out of a million, 999,999 out of a million, would like heaven. If they have any sort of a reality of a terrible eternity at all, they would prefer heaven. They would like what God has for them. Right? But there's a difference in that, desiring to have what He has for us and desiring to know what He wants from us. Now, that's not supposed to be something that puts us into some sort of a turmoil. I don't know what God wants from me. There's not a problem with that. He said, just love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Just love God. Well, I don't even know Him. You see, that'll be what some people say. I don't even know Him. Get to know Him. You'll like Him. But we make those choices. It's just a simple choice. I want to know Him. Something's happened, you know. Something happened and now I know He touched me. And He made me whole. What did He do? I don't know. I had no idea. When I was first saved, I had no idea what He had done. I just knew that whatever He had done seemed like a good thing. And so I wanted to know what He did. What did you do to me? How did you do what you did to me? Are you going to do it some more? Strangest thing. 32 years later, I'm still in the same position. How did you do what you did to me? Are you going to keep doing it some more? You know? It was 32 years ago, about this time of the year, when we were getting ready to pack up from Oregon and come back to Highmore, not knowing what in the world we were going to do. And 30 years ago, Somehow or another, somebody launched us into being a church, and we didn't plan on being a church that I know of. We just wanted to know Jesus more. We just wanted to get closer to Jesus. And the closer that you get to him, the closer you want to get to him. And the closer that you want to get to him, the more you find out who has any desire to be closer to him and who has any desire to stay far away from people that want to be closer to him. It's just funny how that works, you know? That's why you can walk up to one person and just say, man, God is good, and the other person go, oh, isn't he? And another person can say, what do you do? And you say, God is good. They say, have a good day. Yeah, have a real good day. I got to go. Well, you know, that's fine. That's fine. That way you know who to pray for, what to do. You know, if we don't pray for people, how are they going to know? I have to make this confession to you. Yesterday, I came home from the post office, and when I got the mail, there was pornography in my mailbox. And so the first thing I did was go out to the truck and put it in the truck before I went into the office to pick up a package that I was going to pick up, and I brought it home. It was Victoria's Secret thing. Okay, my I don't wear them, okay? But Shiloh works for them, so Shiloh gets this thing, and I said, whoa, what's this in our mailbox? And Vicky said, I don't even bring them home. I just throw them away. And she proceeded to come and just throw it away. And then she left. And I'm sitting there, and I just felt like God wanted me to pray for those girls. So I'll be honest with you, I was a little guilty when I went and dug that out of the trash. Hear that, Vic? And I prayed for every one of them. I didn't pray for their bodies. I prayed for their face, okay? Because there's somebody's little girl. And I prayed my way all the way through Victoria's Secret swimsuit looking at faces. And praying for them. Yes, honey, weren't you paying attention in the bathroom? But I did, you know, and I thought, I just did what God, you know. We got people that go into brothels to try to help prostitutes. We got people trying to save people from slave trade, from sex traffic. We've got one Victoria's Secret model who is now out preaching saying, here's how this is. These people need prayer. They're like in a sex traffic. You know, we've got that. And so, you know, here's why I tell you this. I tell you this because it seemed like a rather odd request on God's part to me. It seemed like a rather peculiar suggestion. And I know you could say, well, you could have prayed for them without, you know, taking it out of the trash. Well, I could have. But I felt like I was supposed to pray for them. And so each one, I prayed in tongues and just prayed for them. And then I put it back in the trash because I don't like to be in trouble. But you know, I mean, the thing is, and she, I wouldn't have been in trouble. She would just said, Roger, what are you doing? And I said, oh, honey, I feel like God wants me to pray for him. She'd say, yeah, right. But it was true. It was true. I mean, I'm the one that wondered why in the world the stuff was in the mailbox. But you know, Jeff, you can't just throw away stuff because you don't like it that belongs to people, right? But I felt like God said it. And so if we feel like God says it, now listen, you know, God said it and I did it the way God wanted me to. I just did what God wanted because I felt like it was what God said. And when it was all done, it was done. And I didn't think about it again until last night when God just sort of thanked me because we were talking about if we'll listen to him. That's all we got to do is just listen to him. They those beautiful girls, those terrorists, those everybody need somebody to pray for them. And if we'll just listen to God, we'll just do that. And if we go around expecting God to just sort of mention things to us, we'll just sort of do that. I met Molly a long time ago on Facebook. She was selling a car. And I just talked to her about her car. So I was praying for her to sell her car. And I found out Rachel knows her. But lots of opportunities, perfect stranger, to just pray for them. To make that connection in prayer. Folks, you have a power at your disposal that is so much greater than we really understand. But if we just begin to apply it and listen, because sometimes you'll listen and you'll wonder what you're supposed to do, and you're not supposed to do nothing. And then other times, you won't even be listening maybe, but there'll be this conversation next to you that'll tell you something, and so then you'll just obey when you get used to listening to that voice. And we need that because we're at another one of those times in history, I really believe, where people need to really be listening to God. Because we're at one of those times when there's just a whole lot of people that are in turmoil. Just in total turmoil. And they will jump at one word of confidence. Even if they respond with, yeah, that's what you think, it'll be so nice to them to know that somebody thinks that they know that it'll be okay. That somebody thinks that they will know the way to just say, hey, God's able. That's what we have to be prepared at all time. Because greater things are yet to come. And greater things are still to be done in this city. Amen? And in your life and in your city and in your house and across the world and whatever, you know. I mean, hey, you might be sitting minding your own business and God says, pray for Billy Bob in Arkansas. Which Billy Bob in Arkansas? Don't worry about it. I know which one. Pray for him. So, listen, if you just listen to him. We need to become more and more people listening to him. Not going through the actions, but just listening to him. And if he doesn't say anything but I love you again today, what a great day. Amen. And be willing to hear him say that too, because some people just aren't necessarily even willing to hear that. Well, God wouldn't say that. Oh, that's all he says. Amen. Father, if we listen right now, Lord, if we just listen, we'll hear you. Speak that word, Lord. That word that each one maybe doesn't even need to hear. Maybe it's far outside of what they're thinking about. Maybe it's just the exact word. That's up to you, Lord. But speak, Lord. Your servants are listening.